Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up, waking
get up with,
ladies and gentlemen,
Josiah and Ellie.
It goes like this.
Hello, hello, thank you for downloading today's catch up. I'm not going to lie, I think it's official. I genuinely have a disease. I think I'm allergic or something to Mondays because I just cannot string a sentence together. I feel like if you're a potential employer listening to this or just, you know, a boss within my company, maybe if you're considering giving me a job anywhere, just leave Mondays off my contract. I promise you, you'll get better gear. Having said that, though, like this catch-up's amazing. Keep listening for sure because we tackle a very important issue, and that issue is the weird sandwich combinations people are putting together at Subway and just around the Goulburn Valley in general. Tell you what, the phones rang off the hook for this one. People got very, very invested, which is great because, you know, it's hard-hitting stuff. Not as hard-hitting as the Future Drought Fund serious chat I had with a professor from a university. I really thought that would rile up the farmers. Not so much. If you're a farmer and you're listening to this, write in and let me know your thoughts because I didn't quite agree with what he had to say. And I thought you guys wouldn't either, but no one called, so maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. All right, I'll leave it for here because let's face it, I gotta go have my nap. This Monday sucks. But enjoy the catch-up. I hope you get a lot out of it. Just know how hard it was for me to get out of bed this morning. Oh, there's a reason it was hard for me to get to work today too. You'll find out what that is in today's catch-up. Enjoy. Speak to you again tomorrow.
Are we ready?
The catch-up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
Lexi Junowick from Channel 9 News. She joins me. Morning, Lex.
Good morning, beautiful Ellie. How are you?
Oh, look, I've seen better days. You know me on a Monday.
Oh, Monday fun day. We're both on our second round of caffeine.
Yes.
So feeling fresh, everybody out there.
Exactly. But we need to be on our game because we've discovered something about the Goulburn Valley over the weekend that we need to bring to everyone's attention
because
we think it's an injustice.
Exactly right. Now, as many are aware, I'm pretty fresh to town.
Yeah.
So I was having a lovely quiet weekend in Shep and I went looking for some inspiration of things to do because, you know, aside from aqua moves and a few other fun things on Friars Street, I was, you know, left wanting a bit more.
Yeah, well, it's a big region, the Goulburn Valley
it
in
is.
General. So fair enough, you can't, you know, just stumble across everything. You got to do some research.
And it's a beautiful region. I thought, what secrets are there to be unlocked?
Yes.
I logged on online, Dr. Google, top things to do in the GV. Lonely Planet pops up, which, as we all know, is a great site, reputable site.
Very reputable. They've pretty much uncovered every end of the earth. And,
exactly,
you know,
right.
they write travel guides for every single place you could think of going in the world.
That's their job.
Yes.
Now, scrolling down the list, we see some great ones. We see Sam, we see the Friars Street Food Store, all of these wonderful, you know, businesses and places.
Yeah, to Bilk makes the cut, Mitchelton Wines.
Moving Art, which we all
yes,
love.
Of course. I'm surprised that's not further up the list,
exactly,
to be honest.
Exactly right. I agree. But lurking down the end, spot 14, and I mean, I am, you know, I love this place, but I don't know if it deserves to necessarily be there.
Let's build the tension for a second, okay? Because this is something that, look, I love it. You're right. I agree.
Love it. We agree.
It's a great spot, but is it one of the top things to do in the entire Goulburn Valley?
And
not even just Shepparton.
Exactly right. And it's not exclusive to the GV. By any means. I mean, they're a kind of dime a dozen, I hate
exactly.
to say it.
Exactly.
It's a good one. The
yeah.
staff are lovely. I can definitely confirm that. But number 14, would you like to reveal, Miss Ellie Cheney, the Lonely Planet's top things to do in the Goulburn Valley?
Scraping in at number 14. As one of the region's biggest towns, Shepparton's Coles Supermarket. What is...
It's a special place and it's number 14 and apparently it's one of the best things you can do in the GV. Now, I nearly fell off my chair when I saw this because everyone loves a Coles. I love a browse, but I do not think it warrants number 14 until 11 p.m. I mean, I'd understand 24/7, like maybe if they did like on the hour, like a Coles little shop performance.
Yeah, if all the staff burst out into, yes, there's so much they could add to maybe make it an attraction.
Exactly,
but for now,
right.
It's just where I go to get my chicken schnitties, you know?
Exactly right. So what are we calling for, Ellie, now?
Well, look, I feel like I want to launch a bit of a campaign.
Yes.
I'm going to attempt to get in touch with the people at Lonely Planet because I feel like we need to hashtag shift the list.
Yeah, hashtag shift it. There's got to be something that can squeeze in and overtake that Coles.
Yes. I mean, and if you're from Coles and you're listening, we're not ragging on you at all.
We love you.
I go there multiple times a week, as does Lexi.
Same, a day sometimes.
But even you've got to admit, you're not a tourist attraction, surely. So over the next few days, I'm going to be asking for your suggestions, Goulburn Valley. What do you think we should have replace it? And I'm going to attempt to track down the people from Lonely Planet and get this list changed.
Whoever they sent out as their correspondent needs to seriously, I don't know, they might just be a supermarket lover like we are.
Exactly.
Next
level. Thank you for bringing it to my attention, Lexi.
My pleasure.
You can leave it in my capable hands, mine and the people of the Goulburn Valley.
Exactly, right. And hashtag shift the list.
Shift the list indeed.
This is The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Remember this song? It was one of the biggest songs of last year. It was called Mine by American singer Barzy, who is currently in the country, and he joins me now. Morning, Barzy.
Hey, Ellie, how you doing?
I'm well, thanks. Can I start off by saying welcome to Australia, my friend?
You sure can. Thank you so much.
Am I right in saying this is your first time here?
You are not. I've actually been here four previous times.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
My girlfriend's Australian, so.
Right. So you're pretty much a citizen now, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty much Australian. Yeah. I think I have my passport here too, yeah.
Good. We're happy to claim you as one of our own, I'll tell you that much. Had a massive couple of years, my friend. You've just risen to fame so quickly. Not going to lie, your song Mine, I still to this day can't get it out of my head. How's it been just finding fame so quickly?
I mean, it's been a dream come true. I've wanted this since I was 6 years old. You know, I've worked at it for most of my life. So to see everything come into fruition is, you know, truly a blessing.
I can imagine. What's your process like when you write your songs? Do you come up with the music first, or do you come up with your lyrics first?
It's always random. It's always pretty spontaneous. Only thing that is kind of common is it usually just starts with one thing I'm excited about. If that's me trying to translate a feeling or a lyric that came into my head, or, you know, drum beat that I'm interested in, whatever it is. And then once I start working on one, everything kind of builds itself at the same time.
Right. One thing you're excited about. Have you had anything ridiculous that you've been excited about, like a hot dog or something, and written a song about it?
Yeah, most of my music is actually about food.
Is it?
No, I'm just kidding.
I feel like if I went into the music industry, that's probably the niche crowd that I'd try to attract is the food lovers.
Yeah, I think there's something there. There's definitely something there.
Yeah, exactly. No one's really done it before, you know? It's an untapped market.
Exactly.
What's your favorite food out of interest?
I'd say probably sushi is my favorite food. Big sushi guy.
All right, cool. Fair enough. Hey, you performed at Coachella earlier this year. How was that? Must have been amazing.
Yeah, Coachella was amazing. You know, I've wanted to do the festival for so long, so doing it was really special.
Yeah, I can imagine. Did anyone, like, throw their underwear at you or, you know, flash you or anything? Is that what happens in real life?
Yeah, definitely the second one always happens at festivals. I don't know why. I think maybe people just feel, you know, free at festivals and stuff.
How does your Australian girlfriend feel about that?
She doesn't love it.
Yeah, I can
imagine.
She
definitely doesn't love it. Yeah.
Fair enough. My boyfriend's
not a big fan of that part of the show. Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine. My boyfriend's a project manager in construction, so I don't have that issue, which is pretty good. Hey, before you go, your name's Barzy, right? So I imagine, are you an expert in bars?
That's funny. Yes, I am. I am an expert.
You have? Okay, cool. Can I give you a quick test, a quick survey? I'm about to tell you a bunch of towns that are within my broadcast region, and I'm going to give you two bars from each town. You have to pick your favourite without even thinking about it, okay?
Okay, got it.
All right, Barzy's Bars. Here we go. In Shepparton, would you go to the Deck or would you go to the Aussie?
Aussie.
The Aussie? Any reason?
I just felt better.
Okay, cool. You just missed out on 3 for $20 espresso martinis at the Deck, but that's fine. All right, let's go to Benalla, the Farmer's Arms or the Northo? Do you use pass?
Maybe the farm.
Oh, I thought you passed
maybe
on the question.
Maybe the Farmer's Arms.
Yeah, okay. Farmer's Arms, not a bad option. All right, this one's more tailored to you. In Echuca, there's the American, also known as the Yank, or the Shamrock.
I don't know what either are, so I'm just going to go with the Shamrock.
I thought you'd go for the American. Fair enough. And finally, Yarrawonga, the Yarrawonga Hotel or the Mulwala Ski Club.
Oh, Mulwala Ski Club.
Do you know what? Sure. You did well to get the word Mulwala out. I'm sure you've never heard of it before. All right. Well, there you go. Expert bar advice with Barzy. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Your new song, Paradise, is out now. I'm about to play it on the radio. Would you like to introduce it for me, Barzy?
I sure would. What's up, everybody? It's Bazzy here, and you're about to listen to my brand new single, Paradise, right now.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up.
With...
Josiah and Ellie. Of Meet Me in the Riddle, double passes to Village Cinemas in Shep up for grabs for the winner. Cara from New Mercury, you've given us a call through. How's your morning been so far?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Yeah, that's good. All right, I did just give out a riddle just before the song. I'll give it to you one more time. What has a head, a tail, is silver, but has no legs? What do you reckon the answer to that one is, Cara?
A coin.
A coin is absolutely correct.
Woo-hoo.
Quick off the mark this morning, my friend. Well done. But you haven't won just yet. It is best of three. Last man standing at the end of these three riddles, okay? So I've got the second one ready for you to go. You ready?
Yep.
All right. What belongs to you, but other people use it more than you? It's a toughie. What belongs to you, but other people use it more than you?
I wouldn't have a clue.
No, your mind's not going anywhere in particular?
No.
No? Ah, Cara, you got us off the mark quickly, but unfortunately I'm going to have to move on.
No worries.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks anyway. All right, Tim from Tats up next. Tim, any idea what the answer to that one is?
Yeah, great. Is it your name?
Oh, Tim, it 100% is your name. Well done.
Beautiful.
How quickly did that one come to your mind?
Pretty quick.
Yeah?
My daughter's told me that one before.
So. Okay. All right. Well, let's see if your daughter's told you this one. If you get this one right, then you win yourself a double pass to Village Cinemas in Shep, okay?
All right.
Here we go. Tim from Tat. What has six faces but does not wear makeup? It also has 21 eyes but cannot see. Six faces, but doesn't wear makeup. 21 eyes, but cannot see. Devil, if you've got 21 eyes, but you can't see. That's really unlucky.
He's unlucky. Is it a dice?
Oh, Tim, you sound so unsure about it, but you shouldn't be because you're absolutely correct.
Oh, beautiful.
Well done, my friend.
Thank you.
You're on fire for a Monday morning and you've just won yourself a double pass to Village Cinemas in Shep.
Oh, thanks very much.
No worries at all. Just hold the line for me, okay?
Yep, no worries.
This is The Catch Up
with
Josiah and Ellie. I want to talk about something very important this morning, and that is the things that we are putting in our sandwiches.
Can you just smile and give me a Vegemite sandwich?
Because Subway, the sandwich chain, have shared a list of some of the strangest things people are putting in their sangers. And when I say strange, I mean extra, extra strange. Some of the stuff people are doing is not natural. Like, how do your guts feel when you do this stuff? One that stuck out to me this morning is a tuna sub. Yeah, great. Delicious. Not paired with a chicken schnitty, though. Like, that's a lot of different tastes in the one mouth. You know what I mean? In the same realm, people are doing bacon and egg and tuna. Like, I don't want to be crass, but that sounds like it's... an explosion waiting to happen, if you know what I mean. It's disgusting. A whole bunch of people put every single type of sauce in there. That sounds a bit like Josiah. He's a real sauce addict. He puts like 10 different ones in there. I'm like, dude, just have one flavour. A lot of people also at Subway are taking to getting the cookies, you know, the cookies that they sell, crushing them up and chucking them in your sandwich. No, just why? You know, your sandwich is savoury, your cookies are sweet. I never understand the mixing of those. It's not okay. What about the person who just ordered an Italian bread with olives and salt? I mean, I suppose that works. And then there's one guy, this is my favourite, who BYOs his own ingredients. He brings a packet of Doritos and then comes into Subway and says, hey, can I put these Doritos in my steak and extra cheese sub? Doesn't that defeat the purpose of buying your food if you're going to add your own ingredients to it? Also, how is that healthy?
Oh, I don't understand it. Isn't Subway, remember Jared, the Subway guy? Isn't Subway about losing weight and eating healthy? Don't pop some Doritos in there or some cookies for that matter. Goodness. But it turns out a lot of people have got weird sandwich combos. These people were ordering from Subway and not alone. I myself can probably put my hand up and say that every day for my 12 years of schooling, I had the same lunch. And that was a Vegemite and cheese and lettuce sandwich. The lettuce is the part that people don't quite understand. But hey, it gives it a nice fresh flavour. You know, don't judge me. Vegemite, cheese and lettuce got me through some difficult times, okay? 13, 12, 16, Goulburn Valley. I want to know your weird sandwich combos this morning. It's hard-hitting stuff for a Monday, but let's face it, it's a Monday. It's tough to get through as it is. Do you like maybe, I don't know, chips in your Sangers? Or do you like yogurt? Ooh, if we get someone who pops a bit of, you know, Gippsland dairy yogurt in, delish. Zoe from Shep, you're giving me a call. What's yours, my friend?
So my partner used to have Vegemite and peanut butter sandwiches.
Okay, look, they're two classics, right? Vegemite sandwiches, classic. Peanut butter sandwiches, classic. Put them together, I don't know. It's a real mixture of flavours that I'm not so sure about. What is it like about it?
I honestly have no idea. Growing up was like just smashing together and it tastes good.
Fair enough. Do you know what? Each their own. I'm not here to judge. All right, thanks for your call, Zoe.
No worries.
Let's move on to Gia from Shep. Gia, do you have someone in your life with a weird food combo?
Look, it's not me. It's actually my boyfriend. He loves sandwiches with salt and pepper chips on them and Vegemite.
Oh, God. Like, it's very crunchy.
It's the saltiest thing ever.
That's the thing. At least it's salt on salt. It's not like Vegemite and like jam or something. I kind of think I like it.
No, you don't like it. You need to drink like 10 litres of water just to get one sandwich down.
Yeah, that's true. Have you tried it?
I had one bite and I couldn't even swallow it because my mouth went so dry with salt.
It's your sodium intake for the day done in one bite. Not bad. All right. Well, do you know what? I'm not going to knock it until I try it. I'm going to be kind of defending your boyfriend at this stage, but thank you for calling up.
Well, let me know what you think of it.
Yeah.
Totally.
Okay. All right. I'll put it on our Instagram. Thanks for your call, Gia.
Thanks.
All right, let's move on to Lynn from Maroopna. Lynn, does someone in your life have a weird sandwich combo?
My husband has tomato sauce, cheese and onion.
Do you know it's yummy toasted.
It's nice toasted.
Do you know, I can imagine that it would be because I am a real fan of onion. I love it in everything. Cheese is great. Tomato sauce is great. Why not chuck them all together? How often does he eat these?
He does it most days when he has to do his lunch. When he has lunch when he's at home, yeah. And it's like with me, when I was expecting our daughter, I used to eat honey and cheese sandwiches all the time and two bags of radishes.
Now I eat
peanut butter and jam together. Yum, crunchy peanut butter. And then another one, I had a dietitian visit me and I used to have porridge and vanilla ice cream.
Love it. Porridge and vanilla ice cream. Oh, my goodness, Lynn, that's a whole bundle of food combos I never saw coming and I love it. Thanks for your call, Lynn. Let's move on to Dean from Shep. Dino, do you have a weird Sanger combo?
I do. I make an original potato chip sandwich.
Yeah.
And then I put barbecue sauce on top.
Okay. All right. Why barbecue and not tomato or mustard or mayo?
Oh, it's just, I've always grown up with barbecue sauce. I've always preferred barbecue over tomato.
Yeah, okay.
Barbecue sauce on everything.
How often are you having these?
At least once or twice a week.
Yeah, delish. I love it. Do you know what? It seems like this morning the general consensus is that potato chips in sandwiches are the way to go.
They are, definitely.
All right. Good to know. That's backed up by the Facebook comments as well. People are putting potato chips in left, right and centre. Brittany's written Vegemite, chicken tender and cheese. Oh, Dean's written ham and Vegemite. My goodness. Crazy times. All right. Well, thanks for your call. Feel free to get involved on the socials. Hit GV on Insta. Hit Goulburn Valley on Facebook.
This is The Catch Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Now, I used to do a segment on this show called Mind Blown Monday. And this morning, I'm bringing it back. Because I came into work this morning, was browsing through the news articles, as I do every morning, and one took my eye. Right? It was talking about how Meghan Markle's been given an advisor. And what I'm about to tell you could either blow your mind or make you say, yeah, Ellie, we know that. And I'm guessing most of you will probably be the latter. But hey, it's blown my mind, so I've got to share it with you. So I'm reading this article about Meghan Markle being given an advisor on how to be a royal and, you know, what to do and what not to do. And her advisor is someone by the name of Sophie. Then I read on, it said Sophie and her husband, Prince Edward. And I was like, who's Prince Edward? And then that's when the mind-blowing part came. Are you ready for this? This is going to be embarrassing if you already know this. Queen Elizabeth doesn't just have one child. Prince Charles is not the only prince there is. Queen Elizabeth, guys, has four children. Did anyone else know that? Am I stupid for not knowing that? Because my mind was blown. There's Princess Anne. I think I'd heard of that name before, but I hadn't put two and two together. She's the second one. Then Prince Andrew. He's the one who was married to Fergie. And then Prince Edward. What? Why don't we ever hear about the other ones? I get it, Prince Charles is the only one who's like heir to the throne or whatever. But still, what happened to the other three? What do they do? Why are we not seeing articles about them every day? Okay, all right, that's all. That's all I've got to say. My mind was blown. There are four children to the Queen. No, not as mind-blowing as it should have been.
Well, you try to do a radio show then.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
And action!
It's time for Josiah and Ellie's Movie Okie.
All thanks to Village Cinemas Shepparton.
Yeah, every morning this week I'm going to have double passes to Village Cinemas in Shep to give away. So if you'd like a trip to the movies, then all you got to do is play Movie Okie right now. Now, basically, the way I do it is I'll read you out a movie quote, I'll act you out a movie quote, and if you can tell me what movie it's from, then those tickets are all yours. Now, this morning's has got to be one of the most famous movie quotes of all time, so if you don't get this, I'll be very surprised. But who knows? I could butcher the acting, which is what I've done pretty regularly on this segment. Okay, let's give it a crack. My accents are awful, by the way, but this one is kind of allowed to be awful because it's all over the place as it is. Whew, here we go. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you're looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. All right, I'm going to leave it at that for this time, this stage. Hello, who have I got here? You're live on the radio.
Nick Gash.
Oh, Nick. You caught up and won last week, didn't you?
Yeah.
All righty. What movie do you think that's from, buddy?
Oh, it's going to be Taken.
It's got to be Taken, you reckon?
Yeah.
I mean, it is the most well-known movie quote of all time. I didn't even get to the best part. You know, at the very end when he does this.
I will look for you. I will find you.
Someone in your car knows it well. All right, Nick, congratulations. You won yourself a double pass, my friend.
Yeah, cheers.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up
with
Josiah and Ellie.
Hey, I've had a bit of a traumatic weekend, guys. It was really tough for me, and it led to me getting up this morning not sure if I'd make it into work today. So Saturday night, big Saturday night in Ellie Chaney's life, guys. I decided to make homemade pizzas, just, you know, chilling out, doing my thing, pretty wild. Anyway, so about 8 o'clock at night, I finally get off my butt and decide to go to Coles to stock up on some supplies and do my shopping, get my turkey, get my mushroom, get my cheese and go back to my car. I'd been in Coles for maybe 15 minutes and when I get back into my car, I go to leave and that happened. So I tried again. No, nothing. Now, I should preface this all by saying I'm a real girl when it comes to this stuff. I don't know anything about cars, the first thing about cars. So I'm sitting there out the front of Coles at night, just being in my Ugg boots and looking revolting, thinking I don't have no idea what to do from here. I guessed, given my limited car knowledge, that it was a battery issue, but that was about as far as I'd got. I went to the back boot of my car to see if there were any jumper leads. Couldn't open that because it's like power steering or whatever, power locks. I don't know, not power steering, power locks. So I couldn't get into the boot of my car to get jumper leads, nor did I have anyone around to help me jumpstart my car. And so I freaked out, sat in my car and did what every millennial Instagram, put out a post. Hey, everyone in Shep, anyone know what to do when your car battery carks it? Thank you to everyone who replied because I genuinely had no idea what to do. And in the end, I got too stressed out by it. Called my boyfriend. He was like, oh, call your friend who lives there. I've got one guy friend who lives here. I gave him a call, said, hey, can you come help me? And he was busy. So I ended up just getting too stressed out and thinking, this is future Ellie's problem. Left it, went home. Went back in the morning and it started perfectly fine. And then I went to Autobahn, right? And got the guy to come out and have a look at it. And he goes, all right, can you just pop the hood for me? And I was like, how do I do that? I don't know how to pop a car hood. It's too hard. Anyway, so my battery's still buggered. This morning I woke up and I checked Uber was the first thing I did this morning just in case it didn't start. Luckily it has, but I tell you what, 9 o'clock this morning, I'm heading straight back to Autobahn so they can replace it for me.
This is The Catch-Up with Josiah and Ellie.
Now, at the moment, you may not know this, but it is something very pertinent to farmers especially. The government is passing the Future Drought Fund, which is expected to get through the Senate unopposed. And it's the basis of it is it's supposed to be helping out farmers who are struggling with the drought. But someone doesn't quite agree with that. And that person is Professor Lynn Crace from UniSA Business School. He joins me now. Morning, Lynn.
Morning, Ellie.
Thanks for coming on the show this morning. Now,
My pleasure. Give us
a bit of an overview about the Future Drought Fund, what exactly it means for our farmers.
Okay, well, the details are a little bit vague, but certainly what appears to be happening is what was previously the Future Fund, which is for investment, obviously, in the future, has been rebadged as solely for drought. Mm-hmm. Now, that bothers me quite a lot because what we know from history is that when you get a sequence of drying, and it just happens to coincide with political opportunism, we know that that usually ends up with bad news for taxpayers. Politicians find it really, really hard not to spend taxpayers' money willy-nilly during a drying cycle, particularly as they're heading into election. So creating that fund really does bother me. It's also problematic because really since the 1970s, we've worked really hard to try and make people understand that drought is just part of cycle. And up until the 70s, we used to regard drought as a natural disaster. And it would be a shame if we started going backwards to that old rhetoric about it being something that we shouldn't just get used to and try to cope with.
Right. So is your concern more that they're spending the money on the wrong things or that the money's there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very much the wrong things. A couple other things to think about. If you badge it as drought, it's really striking that when you look at the data, you'll see that actually most of the money, most of the public money gets spent on floods and storms. So drought, while it's problematic, and I'm not saying that people that are in the midst of a drought are having fun at all, but what we do know is that most of the really serious money has to be spent following recovery after flood and storms. So if you're thinking about drought, you're kind of missing the point, which is it's really about climate variability that's the problem. So I don't want to start a debate about climate change because it's just the reality that Australian climate has always been extremely variable. So just focusing on drought misses the point. The second thing to think about, and people in Shepparton would understand this, is that we don't have homogenous regional and rural communities. They're not all the same. Mm. So when there's a drought, some communities won't be impacted at all and others will be severely impacted. And so, again, it's kind of missing the point about the dynamics of regional and rural Australia. And just setting up a drought fund is not really dealing with those serious issues about how regional and rural Australia is adapting and changing.
So for a lot of farmers in our region, we broadcast across the entire Goulburn Valley. A lot of our farmers are struggling with increased water prices specifically. Mm-hmm. It's costing them a lot. So for people like those farmers, surely that's a good thing that they're getting some kind of relief with this fund or not so much?
No, well, there's a couple of things, again, to think about here. If you're talking about high water prices, it's one thing to bemoan the fact that the price is high for the person purchasing it, But you have to bear in mind somebody is selling it at a high price as well. So, you know, you're only, you're only focusing on part of the equation. So for every purchase of water, there has to be a seller, and the person who sold it at a high price is obviously better off. So that's one thing to think about. The other thing that we know from the data is that when you look at agriculture in Australia, it's largely about scale, right? And that's a phenomenon that's got very little to do with anything that government does. We know that as farms get bigger, they tend to be more profitable. And what that means, of course, is that smaller farms disappear. And this has been happening for decades. And, you know, so the consequences of that for a place like Shepparton are that many of the smaller communities around Shepparton get hollowed out. Mm. You'll know this yourself, that the smaller communities tend to, they're the ones that really struggle. They tend to end up with older populations, populations that are poorer, whereas the larger regional centres generally do okay. So again, you know, just focusing on drought and focusing on the fact that it's a bit dry at the moment misses the whole point about that rural dynamic. So let's have a sensible conversation about what government should be doing in regional and rural Australia to help those adjustments take place. Yeah. Just focusing on drought just disguises the whole thing and distracts us from what's really going on.
So what would your kind of words of advice to farmers be who are going through a tough time?
Oh, look, I'm not a farm advisor.
Yeah.
My concern is that we're going to waste a lot of public money and deceive people into thinking that we're doing them a favour when in actual fact we're not. That's a real worry for me. The data do show, and I know this is cold comfort for everybody, the data also show that farm businesses that go through and survive sequences of drought generally end up more profitable than those that don't, which is, of course, that's cold comfort. What it tends to show is that farm businesses that survive drought learn to manage their inputs differently than those that haven't experienced drought. Obviously, that's not much use to you when you're in the midst of a drought, but it does show that farmers are very adaptable and farm businesses can adapt given sufficient information and given the time to do so. Creating a fund which willy-nilly hands out money and does so on a whim is not going to do anybody any favours.
So if the government does have these funds to spare and they are willing to create a fund, what should it be called? What should it be going towards specifically?
Okay, let's think about what government's role is in the world. Is it really to be handing out money, taxpayers' money, willy-nilly to particular individuals on the basis of a particular circumstance in time? Mm. Or is its role to create public goods that we all need? Drive around Shepparton, drive outside, tell me that the roads are good and that everything's hunky-dory. I don't think so. Every time we spend money on things that we don't need to spend money on, that means another bridge that isn't built, another road that's not built, another school, another hospital. Let's focus on the real role of government and think about those communities that are missing out on those things because of the political temptation to spend money on drought.
Yeah, right. Okay, fascinating. It's an interesting viewpoint. I mean, there's a lot of farmers who are listening right now who probably don't agree with it because they want the money, you know, because they are, you know, going through such a tough time. But you do raise a good point.
I'm not out trying to pick a fight with farmers.
Yeah, of course.
And again, it would be wrong to think that all farmers are homogenous as well. They're
yeah.
not.
Yeah,
there
course.
Would be plenty of farmers who would actually agree with my viewpoint because they are well-established businesses that have managed to survive drought. They're not enjoying the drought at the moment. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying drought's fun for anybody, but there are plenty of businesses that manage drought differently and that don't see the need for public support. Indeed, you know, these are the businesses who bemoan government support because it creates too much noise in the marketplace for them and makes their life more difficult.
Mm.
So again, don't be sucked into thinking that every farmer has exactly the same viewpoint, because every farmer will have a different business model. Every farmer will be facing different circumstances, and they're not all in exactly the same position. That's the problem with something like a drought fund. It tends to presume that everybody is in the same problem. And again, not to go on about it too much, but if you go back and look historically at how we used to manage drought monies, you'll actually find that the same businesses kept getting sponsored to get out of trouble. We don't want to create that situation. We want people to adapt. We want people to be more self-reliant, because the government cannot stop droughts and floods. All they can do is really create the atmosphere where people can make changes that are appropriate.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining me this morning. Interesting
My pleasure,
stuff.
Ellie.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie. Miss something or want to hear it again?
Get the catch up at hits.com.au or download the Hit app.